Melissa Burnham.
Hello, everyone. This is Darcy Blue. Is everyone here?
Hey, Darcy. It's Melissa. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Welcome. So how's this going to work? I'm going to put everybody on a mute for the first half of the call. And then after I'm done talking a little while, I'll unmute everybody so that you can ask questions or add comments to the conversation. But I'm going to go ahead and get started now as people are rolling in. It's 7:01, and I'm just going to go ahead and mute you all right now.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you, Darcy. Namaste.
Hello. All right. Welcome, everyone. I know there's a few more people stringing in as the call begins. So I'm just going to start by having us all kind of come into our centers and get a little bit grounded tonight. It's been a long day, the middle of the week, lots of stuff happening for everybody. You've come home from work, maybe you've had dinner, maybe you haven't. So just start by taking 3 deep breaths, filling up your belly with air. And find yourself in your core, in your center. And as you breathe in slowly and calmly, imagine yourself sending a cord down into the earth from your spine, going down through the bedrock and in through the mantle until you reach the core of the earth. And root yourself there at that core of the earth. And as you journey back up into your body, take another breath. And reach a cord up into the sky, up through the atmosphere, past the sun, and anchor that cord to the highest power in the universe, by whichever name you call it. And feel yourself grounded and connected with all of creation, to the earth, to the highest power that surrounds us all. I'm just going to call in space for us this evening. I call to the winds of the south, the great serpent. Stand with us in our conversation tonight. I call to the winds of the west, the great jaguar. Circle around, make this space sacred and safe for all. I call in to the winds of the north, the great hummingbird, the ancestors, those who lived well and died well, those who guide us in our earth walk and our journey. Help us to stay in good relationship with each other tonight and with the earth. I call in to the east, the winds of the east, that place of the rising sun and new beginnings, great eagle. So fly in and make this space clear and sacred, that we may all use our vision, the eagle vision, to see with great detail the smallest details, but also with great wide vision of the bigger picture. We call upon the earth who supports us all, provides us with all our medicines, our plant medicines, our food, and to the heavens, the Father, Son, the Grandmother Moon, the Star Brothers and Sisters who constantly shine down upon us and light our path, light our way in the world. Just feel yourself grounded and surrounded by all those energies today. I'm going to start with a little bit of an introduction to me and my journey here. My name is Darcy Blue. I've been an herbalist I started studying in earnest in 2003, but it was something that I was always interested in, even as a young child. And I began studying here in the desert, in the Sonoran Desert, in 2003 with an herbalist here locally. and at the same time began a course of study with a local shamanic practitioner. And so my path with the plants and the shamanic world has kind of been parallel for the last 10 years. And when I started working with the plants, it was purely on a physical, like, I want to use plants to heal the body kind of perspective. But the more that I worked with those plants and the more that I got deeper into my shamanic work on myself, just as a personal tool, it became more and more clear that the work with the plants really was coming together with this work of the shamanic practices that I was using. I studied at various different schools over the last 10 years, North American Institute for Medical Herbalism under Paul Bergner. I did the clinical herbalist and nutritionist program there and have been in practice in Tucson and in New England since 2007. And some people may have heard the story because I tell it a lot to explain kind of what really brought me into this path finally and unmistakably was, you know, I had this morning, I woke up, it was a Sunday morning, and I just had this deep knowing that I was going to go out and find a tree. And I said, well, what am I going to do with this tree? I didn't know, but I kind of just listened to that intuitive voice that said, go out, find a tree to sit with. And so I did, and I got in my car, and I drove up the mountain to where the juniper trees and the oak trees, the pignones grow. And I found a place to walk up into this dry wash, and I walked for a while until I came across this really old juniper tree. And really, it was like on its last years. There was only a few needles up at the very top. Most of the trunk and the branches were bare. And I sat down with this tree, and I offered a small gift and opened up my journal to sit and write. And what happened to me, I can usually explain only as like a download of this plant consciousness. And suddenly I felt like I was hearing this plant and feeling it, and like I was writing madly into my journal, crying, sobbing, just this really emotional, deep experience that I was connected with this tree. And, you know, I don't even remember consciously everything that I heard or wrote down, but what struck with me was that connection and that intimacy, and that I went and sat with the tree and was given such a gift to receive the energy that it wanted to share with me. And later that year, there was a big fire that came through the mountains, and it actually burned right through that area, and that juniper tree was burned in that fire. And it was a real heartbreak because I had intended to go back to this tree over and over again and establish this relationship with it, and then it was gone. And I was really grateful. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this tree really gave me a gift of sharing its last like life force with me. And through my shamanic work, I realized that I could still connect with this tree, this being that was then became a big helper, spirit helper to me. That's kind of how I got started with it. And as I've worked with the plants and made medicine and spent time teaching it, like I've led shamanic journey circles to plants for 4 or 5 years now. And without fail, people can have no experience with plant medicine. They can have no experience with shamanic journey. And you give them a tincture and a picture of the plant or a little piece of the plant, and they can journey and get information from these plants that they didn't know before. And I could look it up in a book and point to it and say, see, this is, you know, information that's verifiable. And it comes to people really quite dramatically when we engage in this process of connecting with plants in a shamanic journey. And that's just a piece of what I'm going to talk about tonight. So as herbalists and people who, you know, work with plants, most people who are herbalists and work with plants will tell you that they talk to plants and they listen to plants and they hear plants. Like, this is not something that is foreign to most of us. especially if you spend much time with them at all, you're going to have these connections, whether you feel it emotionally, spiritually, or you just have a specific love for these plants, you're going to feel those connections. So this is not the whole piece of what shamanic herbalism is. And what came about, the name Shamanaflora, this is something that my website is shamanaflora.com. This is a name that got coined for me many years ago, 10 or 9 years ago, during my work in the shamanic study, and it became my email address and became my internet handle. And it was really, I guess, 2 years ago that I really I found myself feeling a little dissatisfied with how I was doing my work and not feeling like it was quite coming out the way that I wanted to. And I spent a lot of time meditating and journeying and asking what was needed, or did I need to give it up? And I went through a particular spiritual right-giving process. It's called the Moon IT. And it really, for me, it opened up another channel with spirit that really helped me get clear about what my work was here. And one part of that was really stepping into this name that I've given myself, Shamanaflora, which basically is, you know, the aspect of using plant medicine in a shamanic sense, in a shamanic practice. And really that means to me, you know, the sacredness of the plants and the sacred way that we can have relationship with our plant medicines and the earth. So it's really about reconnecting a sacred relationship with our plant medicines, with where they grow and how we work with them as human beings. So I really feel that, you know, my calling here is really connecting this community, the herbalists of the world and people who are interested in plant medicine, to the sacred in our everyday actions. You know, not just in a big ceremony for the community, but how do we bring this into our everyday, into our practices, and how we relate to each other, how we relate to our plant medicines. And how do we make, you know, everything we do a gift for ourselves and for the world. So just a quick definition of shamanism, which some people get confused about sometimes. Shaman is a term that came to us from Siberian culture, and it has now been kind of applied across the board to anyone using shamanic practices like the journey process to gain information. Michael Harner is one of the first people who brought shamanism to the West in the 70s, and he says the word shaman is, in the original Tungus language, refers to a person who makes journeys to non-ordinary reality in an altered state of consciousness. Adopting the term in the West was useful because people didn't know what it meant. Terms like wizard, witch, sorcerer, and witch doctor have their own connotations, ambiguities, and preconceptions associated. Although the term is from Siberia, the practice of shamanism has existed on all inhabited continents. So one thing I want to emphasize is that though we use this term shaman and shamanism, it's not a culturally exclusive term. Like, really, all cultures on all continents, at some point in their history, before modern civilization, have worked and used shamanic practices as part of their daily culture. There's a difference between a shaman in a community who is the shaman and who is practicing or healing their community and working with the spirits of that community and that culture. And shamanic practices are something that all humans have the skill to do. So the shamanic journey is something that is not exclusive to somebody who's been trained for 25 years. This is something you can learn to do in a couple of weeks with practice. And it's a tool that is really useful for personal healing and staying in right relationship with yourself and your community and your guides, helping spirits, angels, presence of the divine, whatever you want to call it. And it's not a religion, so to speak. These are practices and tools that we can use within whatever cosmology we believe in. So the other thing about shamanism is it's an embodied practice. This is not about leaving your body and going out to, you know, leave that behind. What you're doing is you're using all of your senses. Your body is your compass when you're doing these shamanic journeys. So one thing I like to remind people is, like, the physical body here is a really important tool, and it's one of the important tools we use in our plant communication and learning about plants and learning about other people. So this isn't about leaving the body. This is about getting more embodied. And it's very, very earth-based. All shamanic cultures rely on the earth as one of their primary helpers, teachers. I mean, the earth is our mother, right? She provides us these plant medicines. She provides us our food, our shelter. And really, like, there's no way to really do shamanism without a relationship to the earth. Okay, so one thing I want to make clear also is that using shamanic practices and skills does not make you a shaman or ready to practice for your community. And, you know, I have been studying these tools and skills for 11 years now, and for the first 8 or 9, really, it was only for myself and my own process and my own healing and my own wisdom and communicating with plants for myself. So please understand that, you know, just because you use a shamanic journey or shamanic tools doesn't mean you're totally qualified to be practicing for your community and other people. That requires training, that requires practice for many years, and really it requires a calling from spirit. And whatever you call the divine power in your life and spirit in your life, like, if you use these practices and skills, you are training yourself to be ready for that call. But not everybody gets the call to practice and heal people in this way. If you're already an herbalist practicing and sharing medicines with people, it may be a nice way for you to go deeper with your plant medicines and help people, but you need to get a lot more training before you start, you know, doing energetic work on somebody in a shamanic sense, you know, with shamanic practices and tools. But these tools are absolutely positively beneficial for you as a practitioner to get more familiar with your plants and deepen your relationship and get more clear about how and what you're doing with your clients. And one of the things that I've noticed very strongly is that you can do a lot of physical work with somebody, give them plant medicines to shift their body, shift their, you know, their patterns physically, change their diet, get them exercising. But sometimes there is a piece that will not shift because there's an emotional or spiritual aspect that needs to be addressed. And this is where these skills can then become a lot more helpful and help people really shift things that are going on for them. And I know for my own personal journey of healing, you know, my own stuff, like, the plant medicine is always supportive and always helpful. And when I've done those pieces, those energetic and spiritual pieces, that's when I really see the changes happen in myself and in other people and other clients. So shamanic practitionership, shamanic skills, shamanic journey, this is not about hallucinogens, and it's not about entheogens. Entheogens are plant allies that shift our consciousness, so that we're talking, you know, ayahuasca, San Pedro, mushrooms, cannabis, tobacco. These are all considered entheogens and have been used traditionally by cultures, in shamanic cultures, in ceremony to establish an altered state of consciousness in order which to work. Okay. They're totally valid, and a lot of practitioners will use them. But as plant people, we have to understand that using these plants in this way has to come from a place of having a relationship with that plant. You don't take ayahuasca just to have a journey and expect it to be the healing medicine you need. Like, you really have to work with that plant. You have to make that a relationship. So one of the things about the shamanic practice and these plant medicines is about the relationship. So just using a hallucinogen to get into a journey is not really the point. The point is to have a journey to get information that will help you in your life, in your client's situation. And there are many ways of inducing a journey, which the most common one is the use of a drum and shamanic drumming. You can YouTube it and Google it, and you'll find 20,000 different recordings of drumming, of rattling, didgeridoo playing. It basically is a sonic driver. It changes your brain wave state into the theta state, so you can access that journey place, that journey mind, or what some people call shamanic state of consciousness. So shamanic herbalism is communicating with plants, and that's something that we do as herbalists anyway. But that's not all of it. It's also using plant medicine on an energetic level. So all people have an energetic body, an energetic field. We have our physical body, we have our emotional body, and we have our mental brain, and then we have the energetic body. This is like electromagnetic. You can read about heart math and the electromagnetic field of the heart. We all have this body, and this is where the place where energetic patterns and spiritual patterns, traumas, wounds, emotional, you know, stuff that happened when you were 3 or in your past life or whatever, that gets stored in your energetic body and then can manifest into your physical reality. So sometimes working with plant medicine, I found that bringing them in to that energetic place for somebody is really, really helpful, because it's not about a physical body thing that's happening. It's about that energetic piece. And sometimes that means inviting that plant to come in and like work in that area of the body, like in the heart chakra. Sometimes they ask hawthorn to come in and protect the heart. Sometimes it is giving them a tincture or an essence or saying something, you know, physical that they can take, because the plant medicines are physical beings with an energetic imprint anyway. So you can call on them energetically, you can call on them in a physical way and get energetic pieces. Kind of, it's all about your intention and how your relationship with that plant is. I'm going to come back to this again. It's about the relationship. You know, traditional healers in indigenous cultures had a really amazing relationship with their plants, and they could call on that medicine to do things that it wouldn't do for other people, and you can't read about in a book, because that relationship is what the medicine is. It's not about the physical constituents necessarily, or what was written about it in 20 different books, because it's repeatable. Like, if you have a special relationship with that plant, it might do things for you and your healing practice that it's not going to do just out of, you know, physical capabilities. And one other piece of this relationship is what in the tradition that I've been studying in is called Aini, which is basically right relationship. And this is, you know, something that all cultures and religions and spiritual practices talk about. They have different terms for it. But how you stay in right relationship with yourself, you know, primarily, and your spirit and your calling in your life, your soul's purpose here, how do you stay in right relationship with spirit, whatever, by whatever name you call it, and how do you stay in right relationship with community, and that can be your people community, that can be your animal community, that can be your plant community, your garden, your piece of land that you work, it can be the plant allies that you work with in your practice. So staying in right relationship, and it's going to look different for everybody, but there is that element of exchange. So the plants give you gifts and help you, and help you work with your clients, or help you work with your family, or you contact your plant to help you work in your garden and, you know, make it more fertile and produce more food or more medicine. But then there's always that element of how we're giving back to the plant. How are we serving the plants? How are we serving the right relationship? And how are we in right relationship with the earth as a whole? And I was really fortunate to sit in a class with Karen Sanders at Herbalismo in October, and she had this beautiful class about how animal medicine and plant medicine related, but also this class on what we're doing as herbalists to give back to plants. Like, so many of our plants are in endangered situations, their habitats are being destroyed, the climate's changing, you know, and she was very adamant. She's like, you need to go out to those wild places and you need to, like, tend the wild places, plant the seeds, replant the rootstock, you know, do what you need to do, water those plants if they're in a drought. You know, she was like, I take my students out and we plant endangered species in the woods and they're expected to carry water out to that plant and take care of it in the woods, you know, a mile away. So, like, this is the piece that I think is really important for a shamanic plant medicine practitioner, is, like, what is the relationship of exchange here? How are you serving the plant? They're giving you a lot of gifts, but what are you giving back? And that is something that we can use, our shamanic journey, our skills, our connection with spirit, our connection with the plant, and changing, like, what do you need? What do you want from me? How can I bring this into right relationship? And, you know, the answers are interesting. Sometimes it's like as simple as they would like for you to sing a song. Sometimes it's they want you to go out and plant. Sometimes it's, you know, something else. And, you know, the answers for me have been different over the years, but, you know, beginning to share this medicine and this way of interacting with the plants is something that I feel like I've been asked to do, is to step up and share it in a way so that it's available to more people to become in aligning with their plants. So, you know, some of the other practices that a shamanic herbalist like myself uses in my practice and, you know, with my plants, with my teaching, with my clients, there's a lot of using your intuition and developing your intuition so you can rely upon it. Using the shamanic journey to connect with a plant medicine so you can understand it on a physical, emotional, spiritual level, but also using the shamanic journey to understand a situation or a person or what the root of their illness is. Sometimes you get a client or a friend who just is so overwhelming and so confusing, like, God, I don't even know where to start. You can use this intuition and this journey technique to journey in and ask for your helpers to help you understand what is most important and what's needed in that situation. You can look at it, you can look at the body in that way, you know, journey in and look at the energetic of the body, and you might sense like, oh my gosh, there's a really dark, heavy kind of energy in somebody's field, and you may not be able to say, hey, that's this or that, but you know that there's something then that's really important to look at in that area. Like I mentioned, you can ask plant spirits, plant allies to come into yourself, your family member, your space, or a person, you know, a client that you might be working with, into their energetic and spiritual life. And sometimes that really is connecting somebody with a plant ally and, you know, giving them pictures and giving them the medicines and teaching them about that plant, having them go and grow that plant or buy that plant, you know, if it's roses, you know, make them have rose tea every day and have them plant a rose bush in their garden. Like, connecting people with their plant allies can sometimes be the most healing piece for them, is that they suddenly feel connected and they have the support that they feel deeply. So, you know, that's part of it. Inviting your plant allies into your dreams and into your nighttime life, because a lot of stuff gets shared in that space. Especially if, like, you've been remiss on doing your regular journeys, I find the plants will come into my dreams and start telling me whatever it is I need to know. Sometimes that's like, oh, I'm going to go harvest this plant tomorrow, and I have a dream about not harvesting that plant. And I'm like, oh, maybe I need to reconsider, you know, and then I can ask what's going on, what needs to be done. And this happened last year with a particular plant that not rare, but it's very endemic to our area. It's only available for a couple of weeks out of the year. It's desert anemone. It's like a pulsatilla relative. And it's very highly treasured medicine, but it's not something that you just, like, collect massive, masses of, like, nettles to be. So I was out. You only have a few weeks to collect it. I was getting ready to go out the next day and collect it, and I had this dream that was really quite disturbing about not collecting it. And I was like, well, that's really interesting. So I went in and did some journey work and asked, and I was like, what's going on? What's this about? What are you communicating to me? And it was just like, you already have enough of that medicine on your shelf. And I thought about it. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, there is a bottle there. And I was like, okay, so, and the plant was just very clear. It was like, you should not collect any more of this until you share that medicine. You know, like, that could be giving out to clients, that could be sending it to other herbalists who would like to use it, but you need to take that medicine and put it to use before you start collecting more. And so that was the answer that I got, like, oh, I need to be in right relationship in this way by not having more resource than is actually what I need. So I, you know, I went ahead and shared and sent away a lot of what I had, but I was able to put it to use and then collect the medicine that was appropriate in that time. Flower essences are a really excellent tool, and I have another e-course that I taught last fall about working with and making flower essences because they're energetic medicine and are really amazing ways of shifting emotional, spiritual patterns that people have. There's also, you know, really physical kind of things that you can do for yourself or for people to bring plant medicine in. Medicine bags, talismans. You can do sacred bathing with plants. There's a practice from the curanderos of California and Mexico. It's called the limpia. And I had one done this summer, and they used rosemary, and, like, I was having rosemary brushed all over my body, and the smell of that plant was just completely filling me, every cell. You know, there was rosemary in my mouth, and that rosemary was taking all the stuff, all the toxic feelings and emotions that were in me, was going into that rosemary plant, that piece that was in my mouth. And the whole room was just filled with rosemary. So that's another way that people work with these plant medicines that way. And really, what I like to say is it's about allowing the plant to whisper in your ear about how to work with them and how to put them to use. And it can be even from how to formulate a formula for somebody, a recipe for something, you know, a different use. You know, like, maybe you really love a certain plant, vervain, for example. And, you know, you take the tincture and you drink the tea and maybe you even like the flower essence, but suddenly you're getting this information like you really need to take a bath with it and anoint your heart chakra. You're like, I don't know why, but if you follow through on that, those intuitive moments that the plants are communicating with you, you'll find the healing is really powerful. I had an experience last summer. I was really heartbroken and I just moved into my own place and was really trying to recover, and I, you know, been working with my plants, and I've been taking a lot of rose medicine for my heart, and I got this information. I was like, wow, I need to take this bath full of rose petals and coconut milk, and I was like, okay. So I get in the bath filled with roses and coconut, and I had one of the most powerful, emotionally cleansing, shedding, healing, like, just really shifted the energy for me in that moment when I was struggling so much emotionally, and just like the tincture helped. Taking this bath and like doing the energetic work with it was really, really important. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten recipes for formulas for all kinds of crazy things when I've done journey work and when I've listened to the plants. They'll often tell you, oh, I want to be with this plant, or they'll give you a formula for a specific person or a specific purpose. And personally, it's really fun to get those kinds of intuitive shamanic journey pieces because it's beyond what your rational mind can come up with and can open you up to whole new possibilities of working with plants instead of going by the book or going by, you know, what is expected or written. And that is to say, you know, with knowledge, so like, if you don't know about plant chemistry or plant constituents and generally like how to tincture things, you want to know how to do those things so you can put together your formulas in a way that will work in the physical realm. You know, you may be told to put two plants together, but you know because of your education that you should add some glycerin so the tannins and the alkaloids don't bind together and come out of solution. So that you use these tools and this inspiration to guide you and to keep you in right relationship along with your well-grounded knowledge of plant medicine, researching plant medicine, read the book, take the clinical internship. You know, all those pieces are important. And I have done both kind of together at the same time, and I feel like I wouldn't be able to do this work without both. Like, I really do need those pieces of the scientific and the physical and the physiology and that relationship with the plant. And one huge piece about this is also using ritual and ceremony, both for yourself, for healing yourself, working your own stuff. When you get triggered, you know, like, how do you take it, the spirit, and how do you work it instead of it letting it eat at you? And for clients and for people, I find doing ceremony is really, really helpful. I'm going to read a short quote from Maladoma Somme, who is a shaman from West Africa of the Dagara people. And I actually posted this on my Facebook page earlier today, but I'm going to go ahead and read it because it really does give a good explanation of why ritual and ceremony is so important. So why is ritual important? As much as our body requires food for nourishment, our souls and spirits require ritual to stay whole. It is as if without the spirit being nourished in us, the body pays for the consequences. The food of the psyche is the symbol, and it is through ritual that our spirit is fed. Because human beings are spirits at our core, it is natural for us to remain mindful of our true spiritual identity. Ritual is also necessary because there are certain problems that cannot be resolved with words alone. The pain of abuse that someone carries within, the trauma of unfulfilled dreams, the sorrow of loss are not the kind of feelings that go away over time. Whether we deny them or not, they remain as part of the weight that keeps our bodies tense and our spirits constricted. They fuel our drive to violence and they eat at our spirit. When they are addressed in ritual, however, we get the chance to heal them. Ritual offers the opportunity to relieve a tension from which words can no longer release us. Perhaps the great number of social issues could be resolved, not by creating more institutions, but creating rituals to suit them. Complex problems plague and cripple entire communities. By actively involving the members of the community in seeking solutions based in ritual, a community can achieve a deeper solution than words and rhetoric alone can provide. Breaking the spell of circular arguments through the power of ritual is an area where indigenous people can provide help to the West. And, you know, this is not to say that you need to do a sweat lodge or a sun dance or take some ritual from some culture. Like, cultural appropriation is a very real thing. And when we're talking about this realm of spirit, you know, and people's traditions, you want to be careful. And this is about, again, being in right relationship. You know, make sure you're doing in alignment with, you know, what is good and true for you and who you are and the work you're doing. If you come from a traditional culture and you have a way to connect with that, then by all means, use those rituals and those traditions. If you are invited into somebody's traditional ceremony and culture and you discuss it with them and they're willing to share and work with you, then that may be appropriate. But ritual and ceremony is something that we can all develop for ourselves or in concert with a client or, you know, a friend when they're in need of healing and help and using the plant medicines in these rituals like that Olympia that I described. That really changed my relationship with rosemary for forever. It was, you know, really powerful. So using ritual and ceremony and one of the things that I'm going to talk about in the upcoming e-course, the Shamana Flora e-course. So there's a couple of opportunities. If this work interests you and you want to find out more, you want to study more, there's three upcoming opportunities. So the Shamana Flora e-course, and we're going to go into a lot more depth about a lot of these things I talked about tonight. Journey, you know, how to work with plant medicines on an energetic level, how to make specific kinds of medicines, you know, calling in sacred space, safety, your daily practice, you know, staying in right relationship, using your body as a way of gathering information, all this kind of stuff. Okay, so this is an e-course. It's a six-month course. You're going to get six lessons over the course of a month, and we'll go into more depth with that. One thing I want to remind people is it's not going to train you to be a shamanic practitioner. This is to get you more familiar with the tools and the skills so you can start practicing them in your life. And if that feels like something that you're called to do, it will set you on the starting path with that. And for people who are already plant people, you know, really deepening your relationship with your plant. So that course coming up starts on February 15th. If you're interested, there's information on my website, shamanaflora.com. There is also a shamanic plant medicine retreat, which is happening March 14th through 16th in Arizona. Information about that is also on the website. It's going to be in central Arizona at a beautiful intentional community in Winkelman, Arizona. We're going to do a lot of these practices. We'll practice journey. We'll make flower essences, have ceremony, you know, all these things that we're talking about as a way for people to have a really embodied physical, you know, experience of this work and what this can do for them. And then finally, if you're in Arizona or willing to travel a little bit, I do have my year-long, well, it's 8 months, shamanic herbalism apprenticeship, and it's really a great program for people who want to learn about plant medicine, who may not have ever studied anything about herbalism. So we're going to go out and we're going to learn how to make tinctures, and we're going to learn the plants out in the wild. We're going to learn about wild brushing and physiology and body stuff, and we're going to do the shamanic pieces, you know, how to journey, how to do ceremony, how to work with the plants as allies and work with them in that energetic piece. And the point of it is, again, the relationship. How is our relationship with our medicine? And medicine can be physical plant medicine. It can be stones. It can be the way that you, you know, hold a certain idea or certain mental construct. Medicine is a lot of different things. So this apprenticeship is really helping you cultivate relationship with your medicine, with the plant, with the earth, and your spirit and your calling. So those are the three things that I'm offering right now. If you're interested in following up more, I also take private clients who are working on health issues, emotional stuff, spiritual transformation. So please give me a call or send me an email if you're interested in having private healing sessions. There's also a retreat later on in the year in October. So if March is not on the books for you, keep in mind the end of October there will be another retreat in Aravaipa Canyon, which is an amazing wild riparian canyon in Arizona, which has water in it all year round. And there's a beautiful ranch house there that is going to be hosting us in October, late October. What I'd like to do is offer a few resources. The primary one right now that I would point you to if you're interested in learning more about shamanic practices, not about herbs specifically, but it's from Christina Pratt. She's a shamanic practitioner in the Pacific Northwest. She has a blog. A podcast that is free, and all the numerous recordings from the last 5 years are on her website. It's called whyshamanismnow.com. She's also on Facebook. She's an amazing practitioner, an amazing teacher. Her podcasts are always super, super helpful, and you know, your own work and your own healing practice, and then if you begin practicing with others, also helpful. And again, my website, shamanaflora.com. My email is shamana.flora@gmail.com. So, you know, please feel free to contact me if you have questions. I'm going to open up the call now for anybody who would like to ask questions, add comments. Maybe you've done some of this work before. You know, please do so. The way to ask a question, make a comment, you are unmuted currently, but if you hit *6, it will unmute you and you can state your name and your question or comment. And so I open it up to you if you have questions or anything you want to say. Anybody else have a question?
Yes, could you give that name of the woman, Christina Pratt, again, the website?
Yeah, it's Christina Pratt, and the website is whyshamanismnow.com.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Darcy, it's Angie here.
Hi, Angie.
Hi. I'm wondering about the plants that you're going to cover. Are you going to be dealing with plants that I might, you know, have a relationship with here in Nova Scotia? Are they going to be more Arizona plants? Yeah.
They're definitely more kind of universal plants. And the list on the website is limited, and there may be other ones that I'll include. But what's on the list currently, like specifically to study, is hawthorn, yarrow, sage like salvia, juniper, artemisia, which there's many artemisias we know, rosemary, marigold, cacao, tobacco, rose, alder, the tree, not elder, wood betony, hyssop, and blue lotus. But there are other ones, and, yeah, I'm not going to be covering, like, how to do any sort of hallucinogenic sort of work with plants. It's just going to be more just energetic kind of stuff.
Great. Thank you.
Yes.
Hello. This is Aria.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I was actually curious because I don't remember if I saw on the website. Is it going to be set up like the call, or is it going to be set up with like a, you know, like kind of like a video when you do the, you know, the sessions for the classes?
Right. So the lessons will come out once a month, and it'll be like a PDF file that you can download that has links to the MP3 recordings and the videos so that you can either download them or watch them at your convenience. And I do plan on scheduling like a recast or some sort of community call, you know, people can come in and ask questions or talk or share in that forum as well, but that'll kind of not necessarily be a required piece because I know not everybody can make their calls at the same time, but they'll be available. But the lessons will come out and you'll have the whole month to kind of work on them at your pace. But, you know, we'll have constant communication throughout the month. You can ask questions anytime and that kind of thing.
Okay, I appreciate that. And the retreat sounds so amazing. I was out in Nevada before and got to experience some desert, so I hope sometime to be able to come out to Arizona. The desert's so beautiful out there, and there's a lot of sacred medicine in the desert, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's why I keep coming back here. I left like 3 times, and I keep coming back to the desert. I'm like, well, it's home. That's where my plants are. That's where my place is. So
hopefully I'll make it out there and, you know, to one of your retreats, just because it was interesting because it was in Las Vegas, but, you know, we actually got to go out to the desert, and it just was just so amazing to be there. And it's not, I always thought like I wouldn't like the desert, but there's just something about it that's just very magical.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm very excited to check out the, you know, the classes and everything like that, and just thank you for making this available for you know, others to be able to experience this sacred medicine.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm really, really excited, and you know, it's a big piece of who I am that I'm finally really stepping into, and I'm really happy that I can really be who I am and share it and have it be something that people are eager to experience and learn. So thank you for showing up.
Thank you. If there's no, I don't know if there's anybody else that questioned, couldn't hear anybody chime in, but I was just curious, is there anybody else that had a question? Because I had one other question, but if other people have questions, then.
I can just go ahead, and if somebody has a question, we'll just get to it after
you. Oh, okay, yeah, sure. I was just curious, you know, I'm trying to find, you know, I'm trying to look at, you know, mentorships, and you know, I'm thinking, you know, trying to, in a creative way, I was looking at maybe trying to just find where I could do herbal walks so I could, you know, have someone that can be with me to kind of identify herbs, but, you know, still looking to try to find some kind of, you know, course, and I don't know, you know, if there was anything that, I know you mentioned a couple different places to me in the email, but if there was any, like, home study courses that could just be, like, a small kind of starter just to get me going, I don't know really what to look for and just something that's just the basic thing until I can go and do an apprenticeship somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So basic, like, plant medicine kind of home study.
Yeah, an herbal study, you know, herbal study home course. Mm-hmm. It's just like when you go out there, you look and there's, I mean, I know part of it's intuition, but at the same time you see so many different people, what they offer, and it's just, it's a lot of people out there.
And it's
there,
become even more overwhelming over the years because there's so many cool people offering so many cool things. You know, when I was studying, when I began, I took Rosemary Gladstar's home study course, which she wrote like 25 or 30 years ago, and it was really, really comprehensive for like a beginning herbalist, you know, like base, you know, plant practices, how to use them, how to recipes, you know, good lectures about the physiology, the body. So and it's all like, at least when I took it, it may have shifted. I don't know how much she's done to like change it recently, but it was all like came in a big binder. It was all written in, you know, in books, and you did assignments and you turned them in, and then they got sent back to you with feedback and suggestions. And so you did get like a response, and they may do it online now where you send your, you know, your responses in an email, but I don't know for sure. That would be, that would only make sense in terms of today's technology, but I don't know if that's how they're doing it now. But,
okay. Yeah. Maybe,
Sage Mountain, I think, is the website. If you just go to Sage Mountain.
Okay, yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah.
The other thing, I know that I saw, I was actually, it's funny, I saw some of your experiences at the Anima Center.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really beautiful to, like, see, you know, see your experiences and some articles. And then she said, oh, I said, you know, they're thirsty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved what they had to say on their website, just really amazing philosophies and viewpoints. And they had like a base course, but I can't communicate to them through email. It was just like on like the herbal energetics and kind of some different aspects of herbalism. I mean, do you think that like the way that they teach about some of that, I mean, I think it doesn't seem like I could do that by itself because they don't teach about how to make the medicine, but is that a good, like, would that be a good thing to go and, you know, look at that too?
Yeah, I mean, I never studied with Kiva Rose because we were more colleagues, but she knows her stuff really well, and, you know, so it's certainly worthwhile, and I've spent many, many years in that canyon, and, you know, like, it's an amazing healing place, so there's a lot of good in it, but I think it would be wise, you know, to talk to them and find out, you know, if it's the right fit.
Yeah.
But
okay, yeah,
I mean, Kiva definitely knows her herb stuff, you know, and it's really, I mean, there's a lot of good education to be had there. So
yeah, I appreciate it. They just said that they don't have you know, any way to, you know, to go on the phone at all, just email. So, you know, to explain, you know, they had like a, you know, a basic simple course, but that was more on different dynamics of herbalism, which you probably could take down the road. But, you know, just I thought this. Get your, you know, your opinion because you know, met them and everything like that. So I really appreciate your your answers to the questions, because I would love to study with you, but you're so far away, so.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's why I try to do the retreats, because, you know, that sometimes is a little more feasible for some people. But you know about Herb Mentor, right? Because that's something that's available.
That.
And there's another community, like Herbal Learning Community, which I'm not as familiar with, and I'm just starting to work with, called the Herbal Coaching Community.
Okay.
So those are two, like, online, like, places to get started with learning plant medicine that you could look into.
Okay. I really appreciate all the answers, because I know that, you know, it's an investment, you know, of myself, you know, in these different things. And so it's like, when I see so much out there, I know there's the intuition, but I also know, like, I want to be mindful and, like, you know, if I'm going to start off basic, like, you know, then I'm going to put my money into something that, you know, is going to be what I need and stuff like that. So I appreciate you know, support.
Yeah.
Thank you so much again. And I look forward to taking the course with you.
Awesome. I look forward to it, too. And if you have more questions, definitely email me.
Thank you so much. You have a great night.
You too, Aria. Have a great one.
Bye-bye.
Are there any more questions out there floating into the ethers?
Hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Hi. You had already brought it up to her, but I was going to also say I have Herb Mentor, too. And for anybody who is looking for something, that's so inexpensive per month, and they have, like, 10 different classes on there that once you pay for it, that little amount, you have access to all those classes, and there's a community there, so you might even find people in your area, and people are really good at answering questions. I mean, it's so inexpensive, and when you get for it, it's so amazing. If you're just starting out and you're just trying to not spend a lot of money while you figure out what you're doing, it's wonderful. Like, it's so cheap, too. I don't know how they get away with it, but it's awesome. I definitely vouch for that. If anybody's not sure what they're doing, it's, you know, it's pennies.
Yeah, great. And, you know, I know the people who created it and are involved in it, and they're all amazing herbalists, too. So, yeah, it's a really good resource.
Hello, I have a question.
Yeah.
This is Lynn. I was wondering, in terms of how much of a time investment your course is over the course of the 6 months, like, how, I'm trying to think how to phrase this. Like, you know, I have 3 children, 2 of whom are toddlers. So I'm a pretty busy lady. So I was wondering, is this the kind of thing that, like, if I took, let's say, a couple of hours every week to take some alone time and work on it, you know, outside of going out and working with the plants, you know, on my own time, but in terms of, like, the actual, like, contact with you and classwork, is it the kind of thing that I would realistically be able to expect to do in my spare time, or?
So there's 2 pieces, like, there will be, like, practices and little things that I kind of I'm going to encourage people to do on a daily basis. It should be, you know, 10 to 20 minute kind of thing, like, on a daily basis. That could be, in the morning or in the evening or at lunchtime, you know, sometime when you have 10 or 20 minutes to yourself. And then the other piece will be, you know, the videos and the listening and that kind of stuff that could be done. You know, I'm guesstimating between 3 to 4 hours a week. That's probably a little high, but, you know, you're going to get what you put into it. So there'll be journal questions, and there'll be, you know, the videos to listen to and suggested practices, which, you know, you can do them once and, you know, experience them, or you can start to incorporate them more frequently. But, you know, I would say give yourself between 2 to 4 hours a week to kind of roughly guesstimate what kind of time you're going to need. And, you know, it doesn't have to be, like, you may end up spending, you know, 3 hours 1 week and 4 hours another week and then have it covered. But it's, you know, that's kind of what I'm guesstimating for folks. And then there's the aspect where we have the community forum, you know, so if people are wanting to engage with their classmates and with me on a more frequent basis, that's kind of up to you how much you want to do that. But that's available, too, for questions or, you know, you have a moment, you're like, wow, this really awesome thing happened, and you just want to share it with somebody.
Okay, thank you.
Does that answer your question?
Oh, yes, very much
okay.
So, thanks.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks.
So it's 8 o'clock, and it's about time to wrap up. If there are any other questions, I can take a few more, but speak up now, or you can always email me. Again, my email is shamana.flora@gmail.com, or you can go to my website, shamanaflora.com, and it's there. But if there's any more questions out there right now.
Hi, this is Brenda. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yeah, hi, Brenda.
Oh, hi. How you doing, Darcy?
Good. How are you?
Good. Well, thank you for all your information this evening. I have a question, and I have a feeling you may have covered this, but maybe this would help a little bit more in depth. I'm interested in, of course, the physical properties of having the you know, the plants in front of me, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm primarily at this point as an energy practitioner from kind of a different perspective, I'm interested
mm-hmm.
in the journeying and the working with the plants on the energetic level
mm-hmm.
as much as possible because I might not have the physical availability or the physical
mm-hmm.
actual hands-on knowledge to work with the plants themselves, but with helping
mm-hmm.
other people. I was wondering mm-hmm. If you would be covering in depth how to work on just the connection to the plants energetically
mm-hmm.
and how we could accomplish that. I know, I'm sorry, I'm not...
No,
formulating my
sense.
Question quite as well as I'd like to be able to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so there's one piece where, like, the work that's work, you don't have to have that physical plant in front of you or in your hand to be able to call upon that energy. But there is the piece where you have to be able to have a relationship with it to
yeah.
be able to call it up, you know. So I am going to recommend people, you know, work with these plant medicines physically, you know, in the body, drinking teas or taking tinctures so that you can have that relationship. You can call up that energy. You know how that feels in your body, in your physical wisdom. You know, your body has a lot of wisdom. Once you have that piece, though, absolutely you can call on that plant energetically to kind of work with it in that way. You know, and
okay.
some of the work will be, you know, like sitting with a tree outside and working with it energetically. It's not going to have to be a specific tree, you know, but if somebody can't get out, if it's snowing and icy or something, like even just like a plant, a potted plant
right.
that you can sit and energetically connect with will
okay.
will work.
Okay.
So
if the plants that you are planning on working with in this course,
mm-hmm.
would we be required, in other words, to get to know those intimately, if you will,
mm-hmm.
to actually get those plants, could we get them from you, through you? Are you going to be able
mm-hmm.
to suggest suppliers? Because,
right.
you know, being that I'm in a completely different climate than where you are.
Right.
you get my
Yeah, well, I specifically picked plants that weren't specific to the desert because
okay.
not everybody has access to the things that I do here, but like, I'm going to suggest, and these are plants that I have established a really close working relationship with so I can teach about them well and share them in a way that I feel like is really full. And they're very specifically helpful in this kind of work, but I mean, it is more about the plants that you then find your relationship with. And it may be the ones that I talk about, and it may be another one that you want to work with. You know, like, for example, nettles is not on my list, but nettles might be, like, your strongest plant ally, and you're like, I just want to, like, go with nettles. And so that is completely, totally valid. You know,
so,
I'm presenting.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, so I was going to say, so I'm guessing that whatever methods that you're going to teach us to connect with one plant is going to be how we would connect with any plant then.
Any plant, right.
Okay.
Exactly. That, yeah, these are tools that I want to give you so that you have them available to connect with the plants, whichever plants you feel called to, whichever ones you like to work with.
Okay.
And frankly, like, in my practice, I use probably the same 25 to 30 plants all the time. Like, I have a million plants on my shelf that, you know, are there, and sometimes I use them and occasionally, but, like, really it comes down to the relationships I have with the ones that I like and work with the most.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I want to help you cultivate, is how to get that sort of relationship with your plant.
Okay.
You know, and the plants that I mentioned, I picked, they're easily available in most climates or from ordering them. I mean, nobody's probably growing cacao here, but you can easily order that.
Uh-huh.
To, you know, tobacco, not everybody's growing that, and that's not something that is like you buy at the herb store. So that would be something that you, you know, have to figure out a little bit how to get, go to the smoke shop and get it there. But, you know, most of them are readily available. And really, I mean, it will be pretty fluid. Like, I'm going to have everybody pick a plant to work with as their ally, and that will be completely up to you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you for explaining that aspect to me. Thanks.
Yes, you're welcome. Anyone else out there? All right, well, I'm going to wrap up here, and thank you all so much for joining me tonight. And if you didn't get your question answered or something comes up and you are laying there in bed at midnight tonight and you really need to know the answer to something that came up, please email me again, shamana.flora@gmail.com. Happy to answer your questions. If you're interested in any of the opportunities, get in touch with me and we can make that happen. I really appreciate you coming and listening to my story and my, you know, my work and what I'm sharing, and wishing you all a beautiful night, sweet dreams, and may the plants that, you know, call to you and work with you just enrich your life in the most beautiful ways. Thanks, everyone. Have a good night.
Night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Night. Thank you. Night.